Welcome to Let's Talk, the half hour where we join various guests from around our community. Now, let's talk.
Welcome to the program, listeners. Tyler Friel with you on WISR 680 AM 107.5 FM. This is Let's Talk, the half hour where we sit down and chat with various organizations, businesses, nonprofits, and more in our area. And today we welcome back to the show Culture Travel. We're here with Joel Rozanski once again. Joel, always good to chat with you. And we're going to change things up. This might be a first in Let's Talk history. We're actually doing this via Zoom today. So pretty exciting stuff. But Joel, always good to chat with you. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, and likewise, I'm happy to be here.
And we also have another guest here with us today as we introduce Kiara Barbera. She joins us by Zoom as well. Kiara, first of all, welcome to the show, and where are you at currently?
Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here. I am currently based in northern Calabria in beautiful Italy.
So I think we've had Italian guests before, guests from Italy on the show before, but we're happy to have you here as well. So we've got a fun show in store for you as we'll learn a little bit more about cultural travel and the things that they have upcoming, but also the story with Kiara and Joel. But as always, we like to remind our listeners, hey, we will be around for the next half hour. So if you can't stick around for 30 minutes, we do have you covered. You can go online to WISR680.com, look under our programs page. There you'll be able to find Let's Talk in today's edition of the show with Cultured Travel. You're also able to find us on Spotify as well. So if you're a Spotify listener, you can search for Let's Talk WISR, where we encourage you to like and subscribe. You can download the show via the mobile app. You can listen to it on your desktop or your smart speaker. Basically anywhere where you find audio, you can find us here on the Let's Talk show. But Joel Rozanski and Kiara Barbera, again, our guests on Let's Talk today. Joel, I'll just start with you in case folks, I know we've had you on a couple of times, but in case folks aren't familiar with Cultured Travel, exactly what it is that you do.
Yeah, so we design and curate unique experiences throughout the world. So they might be historically based or they might be culturally based. So we are heading in June to Calabria, Italy, and we'll be staying in a castle, and we will be getting to visit with a lot of different people who make amazing things happen in Italy and do the things that people think of when they think of like, oh, I want to go to Italy. Italy's so awesome. We're going to be meeting the people that make Italy what it is.
I feel like Italy is one of those top American destinations. When you talk about a European vacation, I feel like everybody's like, I got to see Italy. I know it's on my bucket list. It's one of the places that I want to check out. So, Joel, why Italy? Why do you think people are so attracted to that as a vacation destination?
I've been to Italy a few times, and I have to say, I think it's a couple of things. I think it's the history, number one. I think it just has like an incredible, rich history that dates back way beyond our little American comprehension of the past 250 years. I mean, everywhere you walk, there's something just thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. And then in addition to that, I think the beauty of the scenery that you see. I mean, the coastlines, the mountains, the greenery, it's incredibly beautiful. And then add to that the people and the food and the culture, and it's just a really, really incredible place.
So Kiara, for our listeners, if you could kind of let them know your background and why you two are kind of partners along this Italian journey.
Absolutely. So I was born and raised in Australia, and all of my grandparents were from Italy originally. They migrated to Australia after the war. And I was raised with a very strong Italian culture, a love for the Italian traditions. And in about 2018, I set off on a one-way ticket, and I wanted to just meet all of my family and kind of just be around the culture that I grew up with and just, you know, go out and see what happened. And while I was here, I realized that there was such a need and such a, I guess, responsibility to make sure that the traditions could keep going. And so this little fire kind of lit inside of me, and I was like, okay, we need to bring people here. We need them to meet the locals. We need them to go to places that they don't typically know about. And, you know, we need to help the locals keep picking olives to make olive oil and making wine to, picking grapes to make wine and doing all the things that kind of make, like Bo said at the start, like Italy what Italy is. Like whatever you imagine Italy to be, that's essentially what I was trying to, I guess, capture. And I've started a project that I've been working on to kind of capture these, find these people that are doing things traditionally, but are also, you know, really eager to kind of open their doors and I guess unlock the true Italy. So with Jewel, it was like a match made in heaven. We were connected by a good mutual friend of ours, Brandon, which we are hoping to get along one of our trips, if you're listening, Brandon. And essentially, literally as soon as we met, it was just instant, like we just gelled. And Jewel is an amazing person, and it was really beautiful because we had launched we have a website, and we launched in January last year, and Jewel and I connected I think it was around July. Well, July was when we started working on the trip. And our first trip that we put together was for June this year. And I was so blown away when Jewel messaged me and was like, guess what? We sold out before I even launched it. So it's nice to see, because you can tell that people really want this. And it's beautiful because I have my heart is so full for the Italian people that are here. And so it's nice when people come to visit them and help them continue their traditions.
Jewel, I know you've talked about it, and we've talked about it before on the show with cultured travel and how the trips are designed. A lot of it seems to be based on this idea of what Chiara exactly was talking about. Hey, we're going to try to connect you to the locals, not just, you know, take in some of the touristy things, obviously, if you're going to Italy, but that these trips are best enjoyed by getting immersed in that local culture and talking to those people.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things with culture travel, like, I really want people to learn something and walk away feeling like they gained something in their hearts, right? Like their whole lives have been enriched. Not that they just got a selfie in front of the Colosseum, but now it's like, hey, if I go back to Italy, I can't wait to see these people again because they made such an impression on me. And I just love the feeling of giving the feeling of home to people wherever they are in the world. And I know I've mentioned that before, and it's other people that do that. It's the love that we share as humans on this planet that I think really connects everybody and then makes you walk away from a trip or an experience really feeling the place instead of just seeing it.
So will this trip in June, Jewel, be your first cultured travel trip to Italy?
Yes. Yep. Okay. It will be our first one there. So, we worked on it together, and I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Chiara, but typically people can just book, like, you know, one experience in an afternoon or maybe a couple while they're visiting the area. And I'm like, hey, give me your best week. Like, if I want to come over, I want to dig in. And what are all of, if we stack these experiences and we do a couple of things every day, like what is the best experience we can have? And then that just started the brainstorming, and so that's how it got built from there. And it sold out pretty much before I could really even, when I told people, like, hey, this is what we're doing. And I sent out her website too. And I sent out, like, here's the castle we're privately renting for ourselves. I mean, we can only take 16 really on this trip. It's a smaller, the castle's capacity is limited. So it sold out very, very quickly.
Must be a lousy castle. Only 16 people can stay at the castle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only for the elite. Elite time 16.
Yeah. So, Chiara, take me back to your first trip to Italy. Like you said, you're an Australian native. So what were the locals like? How were you treated? How did you start to immerse yourself in Italian culture?
That's a great question. So I was 15 the first time I landed in Italy, and I had a love affair with Italy since I was little because of my grandparents. And a lot of people said, oh, well, when you go, it's not going to be as good as you think. And I was like, oh, well, okay. So I went, and I literally remember, like, looking at the ground and being like, oh my goodness, I'm in Italy. Like, it was like, for me, it was just incredible. But the thing that I loved the most was the fact that we have so much family here. So I've got so many cousins and relatives. And I guess that's how this was all born, because I felt so blessed and grateful that I had this really, you know, local experience where I was literally in the homes of my family members that really allowed me to live the day-to-day kind of culture. The first year I came on my own, I literally spent a month with my cousin at home, and I literally kind of lived the life of an Italian housewife. Like, you know, it was so cool. And so essentially, this is how it was all born. I was like, well, I want to really let people, like, connect with these locals. And I guess the most beautiful part is that, you know, these people are just so humble. They're just doing their thing. They don't think that what they have to offer is that, you know, is that exciting. They're like, oh, I just, you know, I just do this. But when I'm able to meet with them, and I propose this idea with them, I know that they are always going to be very receptive because of how I was treated. So that was my experience. They embraced me wholeheartedly. And I find, at least in this part of Italy, because it is not very well known and there isn't a lot of mass tourism, it's very kind of more relaxed. The moment you go to someone and say, I'm really interested in your story, can you tell me about what you do? They just light up and they just open their heart and they open their world to you. And like Jill said, like it's that connection, and it's that magic when, you know, people come back from these trips and they're changed, because it's beautiful when someone shows you what they do and shares a bit of their world.
So you're in Calabria, is that correct?
Calabria.
Yeah. See, this is why I got to get corrected.
That's okay.
What makes this different than the touristy areas of Italy?
So Calabria is very unique. It's a region that is not very well known. It's unique because we've got the sea and we've got the mountains. So you can be at the beach one day soaking in the sun, and then within like 10 minutes you're up in the mountains doing like a kind of countryside tradition. So it's not very well known. It's incredibly beautiful. I always say, you know, like the Amalfi Coast is great and it's very well known, but like here there are stretches of beaches that are like longer than you can even like see, and I guess the culture is still very much alive and strong. So I guess the difference is that in the beauty, but the other difference is that travelers that come here, they actually are making a huge difference for local economies, and they're changing lives. So I guess it's about having that awareness when you're traveling, and instead of going to the mass tourist destinations where unfortunately some of the business owners aren't even Italian anymore, you know that you're going and you're supporting local families and you're supporting local traditions and you're keeping alive culture and towns that otherwise are a bit, you know, slow and sleepy.
So where's the castle at?
The castle is in a town called Praia Mare. It's just on the border of Calabria and a region called Basilicata, and it overlooks a spectacular view of the Dino Island, which is one of the islands along the coastline. That's where it's located. Right by the, it's kind of, you have your beautiful outlook of the ocean. The sunset is spectacular.
We're talking with Jewel Rozanski and Chiara Barbera about the upcoming Italy trip through cultured travel. Jewel, again, when you talk about trying to connect with the locals and the local groups and the local communities, what in your experiences have you found that your, I call them clients, but I know they're friends of yours now who go on these trips with you. What have you found that their comments are compared to maybe a vacation they do on their own? The fact that this is an experience that they're having opposed to maybe, the quote unquote touristy, we got to hit this, you know, hit the check boxes.
Yeah, I mean, my clients, and I definitely have a strong base of people who just keep coming back to have these experiences. They do love the fact that they don't have the stress of planning everything and making sure that a bus is going to come and pick them up. Like, that's my stress, not theirs. Or picking the accommodations or picking the meals. I get to do that. They do have a little flexibility where they can be independent somewhat. But I think they just really love being able to sit down and have conversations with people who live in the places where we go and actually find out what life is like and see how things are similar, see how things are different, and again, just really get immersed in it. And one of the things Chiara was saying, so I've been to the Amalfi Coast, I've been to Rome, and I've been to Venice, and I've been to Naples, and working in Rome, for example, isn't exactly the easiest because they don't need me. They don't need my little group of 20 Americans to come over because they have so many people staying there. So it's almost like I have to beg and vie for their business. And whereas it's just a different vibe altogether, and yet we're still getting the same beautiful scenery and we're not having to fight it out to be able to really just soak in those moments and be present.
Chiara, the difference then between Calabria and Rome. I know Jewel just kind of laid it out a little bit there, but maybe just walk me through what a business owner, you talk to in your neck of the woods may be different than somebody based in Italy, and why it's very rewarding for guests when you bring them there?
It's quite interesting because Italy is obviously it's famous for its culture and it's famous for its relaxed way of life. But the reality is being a small to medium business owner in Italy is actually really, really challenging. And I can say that as someone who has come from Australia and started up a business here in Italy. And I think it's exactly what Jules says. Like in Rome, the difference is, you know, you've got so much foot traffic always, and like, you know, thank God, like, you know, they're quite you know, they seem to be doing well. Whereas when you have these smaller towns where like you've just got people that day in and day out are just doing their best. One of my favorite stories is we have a local fisherman, and he's so passionate about fishing. Like his grandparents were fishermen, his great grandparents were fishermen, and I'm sure before them they were also fishermen. And you know, when we started the project, he said, you know, Chiara, in like 2 or 3 years I was thinking about hanging up the fishing nets, because you know, it's not an easy kind of I guess lifestyle. And he says, and you know, it's not super rewarding because you're constantly working with the local people. There's not that influx of different people that are coming in and out, and you know, you're not working with lots of different people. And he says, you know, it's projects like these that give us hope, that enable us to keep going. And it's one thing for me to tell them how amazing they are, but then when someone like Jules sees the value in what they're offering, and then we have 16 other people who are like, we love what you're doing, we want to come and visit, it just kind of really brings home that message to them that they are special and they have got beautiful things to offer. So I guess that is the main difference when you go to one of those, you know, big places that are really busy, as opposed to the smaller towns that need you know, that's the sustenance, I guess. Actually, if you don't mind, I would love to share one experience with you. There is this little town in the mountains called Berbicata. We'll be going there as well with the group in June. And if anyone's listening wants to come in October, also in October, there is a folklore group there, and they do the classic experience of the tarantella. So it's the traditional dance, that is quite well known even outside of Italy as well. And essentially they offer this experience, and you go up and they take you through the historic center, and they do this little walk, and they're all dressed in the traditional costumes. And one of the most amazing things was the first experience that we did. I sometimes go and spy on them just to make sure, you know, everyone's enjoying themselves and it's going well. And the most beautiful thing is that we went, I think it was around October, and you know, the town was like, no one was in the streets. Everyone was kind of at home. They were doing their thing. It was a very sleepy town. Then we arrived, there was about six of us. They were from America as well, actually. And all of a sudden, the folklore group was out in the streets. They were dancing, there was music, they were playing, you know, all the traditional instruments. And then all the locals started coming out slowly. And it just kind of brings to life those towns that are really at risk of kind of being forgotten. So I guess that's the beauty of it, because then you kind of feel part of the place. You're not just a number that they're like, okay, on to the next one.
I think that's, you know, even just in our town of Butler, when there are those events that pop up and people start to mingle and associate, you see a shot of life come into the town. And I think it's really neat to see that. You talked about the culture, the way of living. What would be the biggest difference that an American would see? So if you pulled us out of Butler, PA today, we went over to Calabria, what's the biggest difference you think we would see or notice about how the day-to-day life operates over there?
I would say the pace. It's very relaxed. In fact, when Jill and I started talking, I was talking to the driver yesterday, actually, and I think, like, it seems like a lot, but it's like, you get there and all of a sudden you're just so consumed in this world that you're like, oh, like, okay, like, tell me about this. Like, oh, we're picking olives now. Okay. Like, oh, we're going to go and, you know, we're going to go and do a dance. Like, and you just kind of get so immersed in it, but it's never frenetic. They're never trying to like push you out the door. If anything, I help them like, be like, okay, remember, like, 2 hours, like, that's,
we actually have to go.
Exactly. Like, you know, let's, you know, but they're just very relaxed, and the pace is very, very different.
All right, so I've been very disciplined here. I waited almost 20 minutes to talk about food, because that to me, that to me is the big thing that I would enjoy. So, food in Italy, I mean, does it live up to the hype? Or what do we get?
I just need to mention one item in particular, and that's olive oil. I don't think you can ever like say that you have had olive oil until you have gone to pick the olives, press the olives in the olive mill, and like the smell is like, oh my gosh. Anyone listening, we have this experience in October. The smell is like incredible. I love olives. Like I'm like a massive fan of olives. And the first time I went to the olive mill to see like how they make the olive oil, it was incredible. You see the whole process, and then all of a sudden out comes this like liquid gold, and then you taste it. And it was so funny. Everyone always laughs at me because when I try something, like I try the olive oil, I'm like, oh my goodness, this tastes like olives. And just like, what did you expect it to taste like? And I'm like, yeah, but that's easy for you to say because you guys are used to this. But like, it's the same in Australia, like it's the same in America. All of the olive oil that you find in the supermarket, like all of the industrial kind of commercial products, it's just not the same. So I think that is the basis of a lot of recipes. And they always call it the materia prima. So like, you know, the raw materials, basically, like, so the olives, all of the produce that they grow, everything that kind of is the, I guess the what makes up the recipes is so good. Like the produce is amazing. So when you go and eat it, then you're like, oh my goodness. Like, you know, we're the only country in the world that has a UNESCO listed, you know, cuisine. So that tells a lot. And the other thing that's amazing about the food is that nowhere is similar. So if you were to go to Rome, you would eat something very different to, as opposed to if you were to come to Calabria. And then within Calabria, so we've got lots of little towns along in the area where we are. And, you know, if you come to the sea, you eat seafood. And so like that's kind of, you know, what you would typically find. Whereas if you go up into the mountains, it's more kind of like your meats, your like, you know, your legumes, like that kind of more, you know, kind of mountain type food. So it's really beautiful because wherever you are, each of them have their own kind of recipes. They all have their own little twists and nuances. And I think that's what makes the cuisine so special and very good.
Do you have a recommended go-to meal for when the folks come over in June or October? Like, hey, you really ought to try this.
So there's this thing that we do in Italy, and it's called antipasto. Basically, it's like your starters. And I get really excited in Italy, especially in Calabria. I'm other places do it as well, but where we are, there's this thing, and like they just bring out like, you think that they're gonna bring you out like an antipasto bowl, like with salami and cheese and olives. And then all of a sudden they start bringing out other things, and it's just like this like continuous, I like to do all of the little tasters as well. So we're definitely gonna be doing one of that. Actually, one of the first night when everyone arrives, we'll be doing like a traditional kind of meal, and it's from your starters to you know, your pasta to your meat to your sweet. And it's kind of like a very typical, like you have that slow kind of food experience where, you know, you're enjoying, you're savoring. It goes for like an hour or 2 hours, but you know, they're just constantly bringing out food and you're constantly trying.
I don't see any problem with that whatsoever.
it's good.
Jewel, what's your experience? I know we always talk about food as well. What was your experience with the food in Italy?
I definitely think the food in Italy has been good where I've been before, but I'm really excited to try the different things down there and then just also get it maybe even a little fresher, right? Because I'm not gonna be in such a touristy place. And we've built in so many different experiences with food and wine and liqueurs and thing into our trip. But I'll have to say when I was there before, several times, I've never really found the pizza. Like I was telling Kira this, like the best pizza I had was actually at a gas station when I was there, because their gas stations even are different than ours. Like they're actually like fresh, and it's not like, oh, I put this frozen pizza into the thing. It's actually like a real quality fresh pizza.
So you mentioned the wine. We have figured we got to talk about that as well. So Kiara, there's some wine experiences that folks will get to have, to vineyards, grape picking. How does that look?
Absolutely. I would say this is more of like a Calabrian specialty, but here, like, it's kind of, wine is just like, it's just a given. Like, so all of like that dinner experience that I just mentioned, like they will have the local wine included. And typically each town has their own recipe. There's a town locally that they're quite famous for their wine as well. So yeah, it's pretty much a given. But yes, we definitely do enter into that. And like Jill mentioned as well, there's also like some local liqueurs, because here they have a liqueur that's called Amaro, and I love the Italians, because when you eat lots of food, obviously you feel really full after the end of the meal. So of course they invented a liqueur that helps you digest, so you feel less full afterwards. So we'll be doing a tasting of that as well to help people kind of calm there.
It's a genius move.
It's genius, isn't it? They thought of everything.
I'm curious about the art, whether art or architecture that is in this, again, because as we've been talking about Rome and all those notable landmarks that I think people are pretty familiar with, how does the Roman architecture differ from what people will see in Calabria? Are there any significant differences there? What will people be viewing when it comes to art and architecture?
Well, I guess we'll be staying in the castle, so that architecture in itself is quite unique. I guess the most unique thing about the castle is that it's actually a military castle, so it's not like your princes and princesses. It was actually used for military purposes, and that itself kind of extends to something that's a little bit more particular, because you really kind of feel that you're immersed into the history, and like there's like little things like the staircase. Some of the stairs are like steeper because they needed to make sure that if people came to invade the castle, it would be harder for them to run up and catch them, and that's quite unique. I think the difference between here and Rome is that I feel like there's a lot more attention on attention's probably the wrong word. There's a lot of subtle kind of like landmarks that are kind of just decrepit and almost ruins, but I think that it kind of really stands out. If someone takes notice of them, it really stands out, because then it's surrounded by a lot of architecture that's actually, I would say, it's more modern than Rome. But you find that in a lot of the towns, because essentially there was like the historic center, and then obviously the town kind of grew in some cases, and so the structures are more modern. But yeah, it's like, it's very different. Each town has its own story to tell, and each town has its own architecture, and it's all very different.
Jewel, for folks who might be thinking about connecting with you on you said the next available Italy trip is in October, is that correct?
Yep, we do have space there. We're hoping to see that one fill as well, and then we're also doing one in May. I know sometimes people need more time to pay on things, so we like to issue stuff about a year out, even though that gives people with a more relaxed pace of life a little bit of like, why are people wanting to get stuff done? Why do they need a price for a year from now and stuff like that? But we are definitely planning this October, and then May 9th through 17th of 2027, and I'll be having a Zoom meeting on that this May as well. So my website, culturetravel.org, and then my Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/culturetravel, will have all the information on how to find out more about that and also to book it.
Kiara, you seem obviously very excited to host Jewel and her group. What excites you the most? What are you really looking forward to bringing this group over to your area?
Besides meeting Jewel in person, because like we only met online, that would probably be number one. But number two, I am just so excited for the people. Like, you guys have no idea. Like, this group in June, everyone is like super psyched. So, like, they're coming soon. Like, the group that we haven't even, we still have spots to fill in October. They ask me about it every time I'm saying, like, October, like, what's happening in October? So I guess my biggest thing I'm most looking forward to is, first of all, being able to share this with the people that come to visit, but also just seeing the people locally and just seeing how special they're made to feel and how excited they're going to be to welcome everyone.
Jewel, one more time, if you could give that information out to the folks if they are interested in reaching out to you, not only about the Italian trip but any trips that you have upcoming.
Yeah, it's culturedtravel.org, and then our Facebook page as well, which is facebook.com/culturedtravel. I always try to keep up to date on things there, and especially let folks know if we're having a Zoom meeting, info meeting, and then I should be rolling out my whole 2027 calendar here within the next month.
Fantastic stuff. Jewel Rosansky of Cultured Travel and Chiara Barbera, who is joining us from Italy. Ladies, thank you so much for the time. Really enjoyed the conversation, and I hope you both have fun in Italy in June.
We will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, if you missed any of our program, as always, you can find it online. WISR680.com is the place to take care of that. We're also available on Spotify as well by searching for Let's Talk in WISR. I'm Tyler Friel saying so long. You're listening to WISR in Butler.
The information and opinions shared on this program are solely those of our guests and do not necessarily represent those of WISR, the Butler County Radio Network, or its staff and employees.